نحمد الله ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد معدن الجود والكرم اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلي الفضل الله اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلي وصحبه وبارك وسلم أما بعد
The enemy and the friend. These are two important things to consider. In the society around us, with these two conditions or peoples, a person always faces these two. What's the sign of a friend and what's the sign of an enemy? That whenever an individual, if he is distressed, if he is facing difficulty, or if he has a problem, then the friend of that person who has the difficulty, the friend, he also feels the pain and the difficulty. He also will feel some distress and some sorrow. If there's a problem, if there's a difficulty, then the friend will try to put a veil over or to cover it up or to hide it, to not expose that person. This is the sign of the friend, this is the sign of love. And the enmity or opposition, what does the enemy do? When an individual has an issue, then he's always trying and making effort that let me find out this person's defect, let me find out that he's got issues, that he's got problems or difficulties. Then I won't just keep it to myself, but rather he will try, the enemy, to spread that bad news. Tell other people. Spread that disharmony. And he'll be unhappy when he's telling other people. He'll be enjoying himself when he's telling other people about that person's sorrows. Look at, he's got this problem. Oh, look at that. He'll have a laugh and a joke about that person's issues. And who does this? The enemy does this. The enemy. So this is the enemy of the dunya and the friend of the dunya. So if this is the situation of the enemy in this world, then what about that enemy that Allah Ta'ala has defined as the enemy? Then what does he do with us? How does he treat us? The ultimate enemy. And that enemy that Allah Ta'ala has defined, aduwwun mubeen, Allah has classed him as his enemy. He's the enemy in the hereafter, and he's the big, big enemy of yours, Allah says. Big, big enemy. So how much does he feel the glee and the and happiness that when he sees someone in problem? So every mu'min, every Muslim, he's running after every one of them. And he looks out for the weak points of the mu'min, the Muslim. What sins does this person commit? What sins is he carrying out at the moment? And then those sins, those negative actions, when a person commits a sin, then who is only the person who's happy? Is shaitan or your enemy? Remember, and this means that when your enemy is happy, then he has shaitani qualities. May Allah Ta'ala forgive and protect us. May it not be that these are internal defects, because this is a gathering of tazkiyah, purification. So keep on looking inside yourself, in your inner state, and think about yourself, your state. your scenario. That, for example, if you find out someone's an enemy, for example, if you hear about somebody's problems and difficulties, if you're happy about that, then who has affected you, influenced you? Shaitan. So if you've got these feelings against somebody else, then clearly you should accept that the qualities of Shaitan are inside you. Or this is inside me, because this is Shaitan's function and quality. So why am I happy about somebody's issues and distress and difficulties? Why do I feel like telling other people and having a laugh about it? And then enjoying it, having a laugh and joking and winking, then totally we are a reflection of Shaitan. Totally we are alongside Shaitan. Well, Shaitan is Aduwwun Mubeen, and he sees and he looks, he surveys, he seeks out a person who commits sins. So one sin is such about which the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said a very unique statement. And he stated that this is, you could say, the sauce that Shaitan consumes. Imagine, you know, like chutney, we say noodle, and those people who eat pakoras or samosas, they know what is the chutney, the sauce. The people who eat food, different delicacies, they wait for the chutney. Now, is there any chutney or any sauce with the food? Because the sauce, it adds a bit of flavor to the food. And the women folk, when they make food, then they especially prepare the sauces, they put spices in there, they put flavors in there, a bit of salt in there, a bit of lemon in there. And pakora, there's not as much taste in the pakora as much as there in the sauce that's next to it. But look at the great example that we get from the deen. The Holy Prophet ﷺ said that the sin, there's a specific sin that is like the sauce, tasty food for shaitan. And he enjoys it when a Muslim, a person with iman, a mu'min, when he commits this sin, shaitan is very happy at that time. Extreme level. Just like when you have pakora and you eat, dip it in the chutney, you say, oh subhanallah, who cooked this sauce? And the pakora person forgets the pakora and he runs after the sauce so much. Same way shaitan, when he sees an individual committing this specific sin, that's it. He is enjoying himself, he's happy, he's jumping up with joy. So this example given here of sauce, the Holy Prophet is saying that it's like a delicacy for shaitan. So remember, whenever shaitan is happy and he enjoys himself and he is feeling glee, then make sure you understand, then obviously he'll be happy at that time when there's such a big loss for the mu'min at that time. That's when shaitan will be happy. The more loss that sin gives to the person of iman, the more negativity it gives to the person of iman. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that he enjoys it at that time, shaitan. He is so happy. And how dangerous his sin it must be that it's resulting in shaitan being overjoyed. And what a big defect there must be in that Muslim, in that believer, that shaitan is happy. May Allah Ta'ala forgive us and Allah protect us from that sin. All sins are dirty. All sins are impure. But this sin is very specific and it's gone beyond many of the other sins that we know, about which shaitan himself is so happy when he sees this sin being committed. What sin is that? Think about it. About which the Prophet ﷺ said that this is like the sauce for shaitan, the delicious sauce, and that is the sin of lying. Lying. Saying something false. Such a big sin is lying that he doesn't enjoy all the other sins as compared to when he sees a human being lying. He's so happy. Oh, today he's committed the biggest sin of lying. I'm so happy, says shaitan. And unfortunately, lying today is so easy for us. So easy for us that there's nothing easier than that for us to do. Today, in this day and age, so easily the human being, that such easy it is for an individual to commit. And after committing that sin, another action, look on top of that, that our hearts are so hard, we are so far from the deen, that we don't consider it as a sin. If a person says, oh, he's lying, that's it. Then, for example, we'll say, that you're calling me a liar? The person will say, and he knows that it's wrong what he's doing. And he knows he's lied. And if somebody says that, why are you lying? Ooh, that's it. He won't let that person off. He won't accept it that he's been called a liar. And he'll get more angry that how comes you called me a liar? Why did you say to me I'm lying? How can you say that I've said false? And such a hal today, person who prays salah, he's a muttaqi, recites Quran, Recitation, fasting, Ramadan, Hajj, Umrah. And in addition, is this sin. And what a big sin this is. That we know how bad a sin this is. But Shaitan, he is so overjoyed. Why is he happy? Why is he enjoying himself? But this man, he's a goner. Why is he happy? Because he's achieved his mission. What's his mission? Shaitan said, I want to deliver every human being into hell. Whoever believes in you, Allah, Rabb, whoever follows you, your instruction, and believes in you, I want to take that person to hell. And he's so happy, he enjoys it like the sauce, the chutney, because he's enjoying himself that, oh, he's gone to Jahannam after lying forever. So the person, the individual who lies, where does he arrive to? He is preparing for Jahannam, for hellfire. The person who lies. So where have all our amal gone? Our deeds. No deed will save us, remember this. No deed will save us. Rather, we are also wasting our deeds with the lying. Look at milk. If we take milk, if we put something dirty into the milk, then all of that milk goes to waste. Say subhanAllah. Yeah? Yes? Don't sleep while I'm speaking. Listen attentively. I think maybe you're sleeping while I talk to you. Maybe you're sleeping. You don't like what I'm saying? Then these words that we're discussing today should make us alert. Sit up, awake. These are such words we're discussing today that subhanAllah, these words going for it. Other things you find everywhere, but you will very seldom find these words today in our societies. Let me tell you the truth. You'll find many other things, but very few and far between will you find discussions like this. So look out for these discussions. Where do you find these discussions? Look inside yourself. May not be. May Allah not allow. May Allah not allow. And every one of us is weak. We are weak. There's nobody who's dropped from the heavens like an angel. Don't look at your deeds. Don't look at your amal. Look at your defects. Look at your naqs. Because the naqs, the defect, always spoils everything. I'll give you the example of milk. Milk is clean. It's pure. It looks white and pure. Doesn't it? Milk. But if you put a little bit of a dirty thing into that milk, will you drink that milk? All of that milk will go to waste. Somebody says to you, oh look, this milk is nice, and there's yogurt comes out of milk, and butter, and there's goodness in it. You say, no, yaar, there's a bit of impurity in it, I don't want to drink it. So when our amal, our deeds will be presented in the court of Allah, Quran is a great action. Is there anything greater than Quran? Recitation of the Quran, is there any greater action than that? Tell me. Yes, is there any greater action than Salah? Is there any greater thing than Hajj? Do you understand now the example I give you of milk? You understand? So when our deeds will be presented in front of Allah, Allah will say, no, there's dirt and contamination in his deeds. How can I accept his deeds? Say, subhanAllah. No. Yes, his actions are good, Allah says. Tilawat of Quran is good, Salah is good. But how can I accept his deeds, Allah will say? That there's dirt and impurity mixed inside his deeds. And such a dirt, such contamination, how big is that dirt? An individual came to the Holy Prophet, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He presented himself. Beautiful things the Sahaba Ikram, the noble companions, used to ask the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We've hidden these statements. Oh, we don't have no need for this, we say today. We have no need for this. What was his question? Unique question. Unique question. He said, Ya Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, O Prophet of Allah, so a mu'min, a Muslim who has iman, say Alhamdulillah. Say Alhamdulillah. A mu'min, he said, the Sahabi asked, can a mu'min be stingy? A miser? Can he be a miser? Can he be miserly? And the Prophet ﷺ said, yes, he could be. Yes, not a big clash with iman. Yes, there are weaknesses inside human beings, of course. Yes, so there's not a big clash with iman. This defect can be inside a mu'min. He could be a mu'min and he could have this defect. He could have this weakness. He could be stingy. He doesn't want to put his money in his pocket. It just goes to the top of the pocket. It doesn't go inside. If it goes inside, then he counts what's the smallest denomination of note or coin that I can give to this person. He does. And if, for example, he can't see small coins or notes, then he says, no, don't let him see that I was looking for the money. I don't want to give anything. So that's the stingy person. The stingy person. And what's the thing that's opposite to stinginess? Generosity. Sakhawat. He puts his hand in his pocket. Whatever he gets, he takes it and says, yeah, take this. And he's happy. SubhanAllah. Just by listening to what I've just said is enjoyment. Just by listening to what I've said is enjoyment. Why? Because when there are people who put their hands in their pockets, and definitely there's someone in front of them, distressed, and he accepts his request, say SubhanAllah. That whoever's heart accepts that he is in need, This person is desperate, and then he puts his hand, after accepting that person's need, he puts his hand in his pocket, not his fingers, and he puts his hand, whatever comes in his hand, he goes, here, this is for you, fulfill your need. Who does this? That person who is Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakeel, he who recites this for sure, he will give whatever he gets in his hand. Say Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Only he will be the generous person. Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakeel. He knows that my Rabb gave me this money. Tomorrow he'll give me the money as well. No problem. Rather, he'll compensate me and multiply it. Help this man right now. This is called Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakeel. Ni'mal mawla wa ni'mal nasir. Allah, you will help me after this, that you won't leave me hungry. If for your sake, Allah, I am not leaving your creation hungry, and all my things, I've got my wealth, I'm giving to him. Allah, you my Rabb, my Lord, you're saying in the Quran yourself that I will help. I have no fear that I take 2 out or 3 out or 5 pounds out. Allah, I'll give whatever he needs to fulfill his need. And after that, think about yourself now. Do 2 fingers go in your pocket, or do you put your whole hand in and take the money out? Ask yourself, mashallah, you are pious people, you've got imamas, beards, all of you have faces like angels. Whoever's external is good, inshallah, his batin will be good as well. Yes, whoever looks after his zahir, external brings, you know, people say, oh look, he's got a turban, oh look, he commits sins, he's wearing this, but say no, look, he's got a beard, he commits the sins. People say, don't worry about what they're saying, say we do everything, but I have improved my external appearance, my Rabb is such, he will look at my external self, and he will improve my batin as well. That subhanAllah, that if Allah has taken me from bareheaded to topi, from topi to imamah, he is the great creator. If he's brought me from bareheaded to the imamah, then inshallah, he will take me from the earth to the mansion in paradise as well, inshallah. Say subhanAllah, subhanAllah. Why? Because I have believed, Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakeel. Subhanallah. That Allah is the creator, is the controller. He is my control of my affairs, the wakeel. Allah, he will allow everything to take place. We have full tawakkul on Allah. Oh look, I've got a court case, wakil, solicitor, take my file, my notes. So we have trusted our affairs to the wakil, the lawyer. So who is a mu'min who does, who about that mu'min, the believer who makes Allah his lawyer? Say subhanAllah. Imagine, entrusting your affairs to Allah. So he said, that could, the sahabi said, Prophet of Allah, can a Muslim be a stingy person? He said, could be. Then he asked the next question. Great question. Oh, Prophet of Allah, can a Muslim be a coward? Buzdil, the Prophet thought. Yes, a mu'min could be a coward. He could be brave. He could be a coward. And being a coward is a bad thing. It's a bad thing, isn't it? A coward, that even a person sees a mouse, he gets scared. A fly comes in, he gets scared. Even this is cowardice. But this is not the true cowardice. The biggest coward is that person. I tell you who's the biggest coward? That's why I said to you, these words you won't find everywhere in the world. Where will you find them? Where dhikr majlis takes place, you'll find these discussions. Why? Where there's dhikr, tazkiyah takes place, purification. Not dhikr empty, bare dhikr. This is not a play, we're just playing a game. No. Where there's dhikr, definitely there'll be tazkiyah. Without tazkiyah, there's no dhikr. Without purification of the inner state, there's no dhikr. Remember this. Say subhanAllah, subhanAllah. Yes, so now you're awake and you understand what I'm saying. Okay, be awake, be alert. So here, the Sahabi asked, the companion, can a Muslim be a coward? Who is the real coward? The real coward is that person who hides the truth. Allahu Akbar. The real coward is that person who hides the truth. He hides the haqq. May Allah forgive. Allah Ta'ala, if he sends a message, gives us the deen, he hides it. Who did this? Who did this action? Which qawm, which people were destroyed? Those who are in charge today. Allah told us their defect. This was their defect. They were so cowardly, they were afraid of the dunya. They used to hide the truth. It's too hard, don't do this. This is too hard, don't do this. This is too hard, don't do this. And the person in the truth says, do that thing, even if you think it's hard, do it. Why? Because Allah's order, do it. Allah's order, do it. To hide Allah's order is the cowardly act. Allah says, do this. So you have to implement that action. And who is the coward? He hides it, hide it, don't do it, don't tell people, hikmah, there's wisdom, we don't have to do this, what will that person say, what will this person say, what will that person say, subhanAllah. But that person who is clean and people on the haqq, the truth, what do they say? Oh, hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel. We recite this kalima. How can we hide the truth? How can we hide the haq? Allah has ordered, if I hide this, then I'll be the coward in the hereafter. I'll be exposed. I'll be dragged into hellfire with the cowards. Yes, they were so cowardly, they used to hide the truth. They used to hide the words of the Torah. They said, this ain't necessary, we can live without this. Is this not the case? Those respected scholars are sitting here. Yes, please correct me if I'm wrong. So such a dirty action, that Allah Ta'ala in the Quran exposed and revealed the greatest kitab of Allah, the Quran. This is not a storybook, the Quran. It's not for repeating, reciting. The Quran didn't get revealed for reading, repeating. It's come for amal, for action. Action. So Allah Ta'ala has shown us these events in the Quran. The ulama ikram, Allah Ta'ala said, I've shown you the great true story so you can take warning, admonishment and learning from these events in the Quran. As a Yusuf alayhi salam, it's not a story, folk tale. Allah says, it's not Jack and Ori, don't enjoy yourself and make it a story. That is a beautiful event, an incident, but seek the warnings and the learnings in this surah Yusuf. Allah says eventually in the Quran, why? Because Allah says that we are people of drama, high drama. Well, say, oh, make a film out of this. Surah Yusuf is interesting, emotional, Zulaikha, beautiful story, incident. Allah says, it is ahsan. It is excellent. And your Rabb has presented it in a beautiful way. Allah said, oh, my Mahbub, you don't even know this without me telling you. Why? For this reason, the qawm to come, the nation to come, openly I want to present to the mu'mineen so they can learn and take warning. Say, Subhanallah. So Allah Ta'ala gave us the Quran for us to get the learnings and the warnings and admonishment. The previous nations and tribes and peoples, we have to learn from that. Why were they punished? Why were they made into monkeys and swine? Why were they punished? For this reason, they were cowards. How were they cowards? They used to hide the verses. They used to conceal the truth. They used to get scared. If I say this to people, say, no, don't do this. They won't give us food. They won't give us money. They won't give us sustenance. Oh, it's too strict. Oh, take the hard things out. Conceal them. No, Allah says. If the haq has arrived to you, then share the haq with the people. Spread the haq. If the haq has arrived, spread the haq, Allah says. The haq comes to the heart and you have to deliver it with your tongue. You have to share it with your tongue. Say Subhanallah. Yes, your choice whether someone does it or not, it's up to them, but don't hide the truth. Don't look at people's faces and hide the truth. Don't look at society and hide the truth. Remember this. Don't look at money and hide the truth. Don't look at peoples and hide the truth. Don't look at dunya and hide the truth. Don't look at circumstances. Truth has come, share it with the people. Share it with the people. That's where deen starts from. The Prophet of Allah, when he received the haq, Kulu la ilaha illallah. The Prophet went onto the mountain and shouted out. Did he think about it? Did he think twice? That I've come here to deliver the haq to you. What is haq? He stood firm. Then he didn't see someone standing with me, and no angel was there, no Jibreel alayhi salam was there with him. Just the Prophet spread the haq. Allah said, I've told you, my Nabi, the haq. He stood on himself on the mountain. People, come. I'm about to tell you the truth. If you hear this and accept it, then you'll attain paradise and the world will submit to you, bow to you. Kaisar, Caesar, Kusru will become your servants. They were big states. They were powerful states, countries, nations. They will come to your feet. And he stood alone. The Prophet of Allah says, may I be sacrificed on that mountain where he announced this, Subhanallah. This is a person, he should give his all. Imagine that mount. Imagine the scene. The Prophet stood alone and calling out to the people, giving the message, Kulu la ilaha illallah. The truth is being spread. Allah, a G point is coming to my heart, a unique point. Everyone was listening at that time to this call. And whoever didn't come, even they were listening. Now this is a word of the heart that I'm teaching you here, or like sharing with you here. Even those people, even those who weren't born, they had this announcement. Because this was the tongue and the statement of the Nabi. And who was enabling him to speak? Allah gave him permission to speak. It was not minor scene. The Prophet was speaking, even those people who were in the wombs of their mothers, even those who weren't born, who were to be born, when they heard, they accepted. Today, those same people reciting the kalama, me and you, even we took that message from that time. This came into my heart, I've shared it with you. This understanding. So it wasn't the case that his voice stayed restricted there. No, we are also those people who heard that call, and we were told. The arwaz, in the alami arwah, we heard, we said, oh Rasulullah, we have heard you, we say, la ilaha illallah. We will say in Bolton, in a USA, in England, wherever we live, wherever we go, we'll say, la ilaha illallah. Subhanallah. So this is that call that announced, Qulu la ilaha illallah, subhanallah. So the spirits heard the ruz, and today the ruz, they accept that call. And mashallah, did anyone know that time, Hindu, Muslim, you recited the kalam at that time. Your grandmother, your mother, your father, everybody at that time accepted the kalam. Whoever recited it, they became Muslims. They converted right at that time. Subhanallah. La ilaha illallah Muhammad al-Rasulullah. You understand this beautiful, unique point I've just shared with you? Okay. So he stated, Ya Rasulullah Sallam, so now do you understand who's a coward? Never hide the truth. Otherwise, this is a sunnah, you have to do amal on this. Speaking the truth. Yes, don't become weak. Promote yourself. Elevate yourself. Promote yourself. Go high, 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 alhamdulillah. Today you'll get promote yourself more and more and more. Go higher, higher, higher. Yes, the more you improve your zahir, your external on what? On the sunnah there, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the more hubbi rasul, the more love will increase, then the hubba Allah will increase, well, love of Allah will increase, day and night will be promoted. Today, sleep with the love of Allah, sleep with the love of Rasulullah, commit a sunnah, implement a sunnah every day when you get up. Say, Allah, I left that sunnah, Allah, I'll implement that sunnah as well today. I'll implement this sunnah as well today. Haqq, the truth, spread the truth, alhamdulillah. We have hidden the sunnahs today. Why? Because who do we want to please? That qawm, those peoples that Allah Ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, we want to please them. To please them, we have subdued and hidden the sunnahs of Rasulullah. These words are bitter, but I don't hide the truth. I speak openly. I don't hide the truth. Those people who don't follow the sunnah, they've hidden the deen. Just like those people, who the people of Tawrat and Jil, who hid the verses of Allah. The hearts, our hearts feel and accept that the sunnah is great. The Prophet is great. We say we are ashik. We say we are lovers. We do jalsas and marches and conferences. But we don't do amal on the sunnah because we hide the sunnahs. Why do we hide them? Because we are really cowards in reality. This is the definition of the coward. I will say it again. You'll only hear this definition where sunnah and where the majlis of dhikr takes place. Say subhanallah. The respected scholars are here, but my words are bitter. You'll only hear these great discussions where majlis dhikr takes place. Such definitions and explanations you will of cowards, you will learn from nowhere else. So Allah's given the example that the brave person will never hide the haq. Allah's Rasul said something, he announced it, he said, my imamah is beloved, we will wear the imamahs in the streets, on the alleyways, wherever we are. Rasul announced, I like the chadar, the dhoti, we'll wear them in the streets, in the marketplaces, wherever we are openly. Who are we alive for? Who are we alive for? We are alive for him, mashallah, subhanallah. We are saved, we are ashiks and lovers of Islam. We dream about Jannah and paradise, and our hal is such that Allah Ta'ala has given paradise for this action. Ajeeb hadith, unique hadith, Rasulullah said that whoever has pleased me, he has pleased Allah. So this is a hadith of Bayhaqi. Imagine this, the Prophet ﷺ's personality. Imagine his shan, his glory, his status. Should we hide his sunnah? Will there be a bigger coward than he who hides his sunnah? We have money. We say we give our life. We do this. And we will fight with people and oppose people. We don't do amal on the sunnah. He's the biggest coward who doesn't practice the sunnah. Don't be scared of that person. Very weak, and you don't have to punch, you don't have to fight, then don't worry. If this person who's following the sunnah, then don't touch that person. Because he's, mashallah, a very brave person. He's got a lot of strength. Say subhanallah. Yes? All physical power and spiritual is inside who? All power is in what? In the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That contains the power, all the nur, all of the strength, all of the energy. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam announced that please me, if you have pleased me, Rasulullah sallallahu said, then my Rabb Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will also be happy. And when our Rabb will be happy, then the doors of paradise will be opened for you. So what we learn, that Rasulullah has announced that Jannah is only for that person who pleases the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hadith of Bayhaqi. Then the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So how will he be happy? Will he be happy more with the topi or with the imamah, turban? Tell me. Say loudly, imamah. So why don't we wear the imamah? Will he be more happy with clean shaven person or a person with a beard? Tell me then, why don't you keep the beard? Oh, I'm a lover of Rasulullah, says people say. May I be sacrificed. Then the, mashallah, we say big things, but they are cowards. They hide the deen. That qawm also did this. Allah said, they hid the Tawrat. The words that were haq truth in the Torah, they used to hide them. Am I right or wrong? Tell me. Am I right or wrong? Hadith of Bayhaqi. So coward, the Prophet said, yes, the Muslim could be coward, but imagine the sin. The Prophet said, still he's a mu'min. He can still be rectified and improved. Then the third question is what we need to hear, the Sahabi asked. Back to the hadith, he said, oh Prophet of Allah, can a mu'min be a liar also? The Prophet stood up suddenly, sat up. Liar? He said, totally not at all, not at all. The mu'min and lying are two opposite things. A mu'min can never be a liar. A liar can never be a mu'min. A believer, Allahu Akbar. What a big sin. What a big sin. What a big sin, and how a small sin it is today for us. Lying, yes, can be by signing. It's not just by verbally, even by writing you can be a liar. By signing unlawfully, if you sign unlawfully somewhere, if you're claiming something unlawfully, saying something, lying, it's not your right, you're saying, I need this, what is that? That's a lie. It's a lie. All ibadah gone in the with the wind. Iman's gone. Forget about ibadah. His iman is gone. His belief is gone. That a mu'min can never be a liar. A liar can never be a mu'min. Let me tell you a story. Then I'll summarize this explanation. In Hindustan, Indian subcontinent, Alamgir, it was the time of the British rule, and there was a dervish, a pious person who used to run a madrasa. He was an alim, a scholar, a pious person, very pious person. It's mentioned in the kitabs, in the books. He was running his madrasa institute, Islamic institute. Children were sitting there, and you know, children, they're naughty even today, like just like in our generation. They got together, the children, they decided that Ustadji, today, how can we get a day off? We don't feel like studying today. All the children said, the students. He said, well, let's make a plan. So they made a plan. You know, the children, when they make a plan, just to get a day off. To get a day off from the classes. This happens in the madrasas. People connive and they plan. And for example, they say, oh, we'll say that we're sick so that we can get a day off. Then children, you know, they're naughty. And so they planned. They said to Mullahji, the Ustadji, teacher, respected teacher, we're hearing something really bad amongst us. He said, what is it? Ustadji said, what is it? They said, we've just heard the news. And people were talking outside in the road. They were saying that, you know, that the bridge that is being picked up, that bridge, and it's being taken somewhere else, and that it will pass on top of your masjid. And it will pass there, and if it drops, Ustadji, then we'll also die, and you'll die as well, and the masjid will go. So what should we do now? He said, is it? Ustadji said, is that what's happening? He said, ooh, is it? And then he said, yeah, big news, it's spread, please, day off. He said, go, day off. And that's subhanAllah. For example, today, if you say to a wazir, let me go and speak to a minister, why are you doing this? Etc. So he got up, the children went and he went, imagine the story that had been shared. If, for example, somebody says to you, you say, why are you lying? You'll slap and say, why are you lying? Isn't it? They look at him. The teacher, he went straight and he said to the minister, to the officer, he said, tell me. He said that that such a weird news is spreading. He said, what's happened? Everybody used to respect him, the teacher. He said that, Mullah, what's happened? He said, I've just heard the news that the children told me, and you haven't even told us that such a bad situation. I'm saying, what's happened? He said, you know, that the bridge of Jamna, we've heard that it's been dismantled and taken somewhere else, and it's constructed in our masjid for the sake of Allah. If it drops on our masjid, what will happen? And they all started laughing, the officers. They said, Mawlana sahab, what's happened to you? That have you ever heard that a bridge can be picked up from one place and taken to another place? He said, what are you talking about? He said, this is the truth. Why don't you understand what I'm saying? That please tell them not to pick up the bridge. And they said, Mawlana sahab. They said, Maulvi sahab, what are you talking about? Have you ever heard that the bridge is being dismantled, picked up, transported somewhere else? Is this possible? What are you saying? Listen to the answer. He said, yes. I'm not mad. He said, I'm alert, I'm awake. Listen carefully. If this is possible, this is not a lie, it's totally possible. The bridge can be picked up and taken to another place. But this is impossible that a Muslim's child can lie. So how can I have yaqeen when a Muslim's child is telling me this, that I have 100% belief in this? This is possible, it can happen, that it can be moved. But this is not possible, that I cannot imagine that a mu'min's child will lie and tell me lies. Say subhanAllah. So look at the iman and belief he had. He said, it's impossible. There's a Muslim today and he lies. He said, this is not possible. He said, these are two opposite things. Where there's iman, they will not be lying. My brothers, how can we attain this condition? Look at today, the loss and the darkness where our generation is. And this gathering and the collection of all sins. And if we look at the collection of all our gatherings, that when we have our sins, they accumulate and they combine together, then tazkiyah, purification, is the meaning of purifying all of these sins clean. And that's why we come to these majalis, these gatherings, and we learn to wipe away these sins. Otherwise, we can take all the deeds under the sun, but if we don't do tazkiyah, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. Allah says in the Quran. Success will be attained at that time when you don't wake up as a liar, as a miser, as a coward, as a person without defects. That's when you will attain success. That's when your deeds will be useful to you. So for this, there's only one path. The go and do your tazkiyah and go and sit in a majlis and take the hand of a wali Allah. And that is where your tazkiyah will take place, your purification. Yes. So you have come here, you come. But if you don't do the work, then how sad it will be. If you don't make effort, how sad it will be. That everything you can learn, whatever you get from the company of the wali of Allah, it's the decision of Allah, it's the selection of Allah. Tazkiyah takes place, Allah gives cure, Allah assists that sheikh, that teacher. Then this generation, the disease has spread, the dirt has spread, and cure their diseases. Give them the cure, give them the solution. This is the selection of Allah, Allah Ta'ala's selection, the wali Allah. Allah gives the solution, the tazkiyah sheets that have been created. These are not created by an individual, this is Allah's selection. I congratulate those women, those men who are with me, who accept these sheets, who utilize them, who fill them in. Alhamdulillah, they are successful. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى. And extremely unfortunate tomorrow on the Day of Judgment, those who do not implement the system, they will wake as mutakabbir, as thieves. That why did you not understand? Allah gave you a system, the sheet system. Allah gave you a teacher, a sheikh. Do you learn this anywhere else? Do you get this system anywhere else? Have you ever seen this system anywhere else? Have you heard this anywhere else? Who stops you? Who stops us? Shaitan stops us. Shaitan. And his biggest clash is that he wants us to lie. His biggest objective is let this Muslim do Hajj and Umrah and pray. Let him do Hifz and become a Hafiz of Quran. Ijazah. But don't let this person stop lying. Don't let this person stop backbiting, says Shaitan. Don't let him get rid of these defects. He knows that with these defects, that person will be thrown into hell. With those amal, he'll go into Jannah. That's why Shaitan tries, that he doesn't want us to leave lying. Brothers, open your eyes. Open your eyes and step forward. Allah Ta'ala has opened the door of mercy to you. Do amal on the action. Leave these sins. Eliminate your defects. If you cannot eliminate your defect, until and unless you don't go to a walila and do tazkiyah. Tazkiyah. That by zikr and askar, you cannot attain success. Zikr is the asbab, it's the means to success. The objective of doing zikr is that internally you need to remove your defects. That you cannot just benefit empty-handed with dhikr. I've come to do dhikr and that's it. Don't make dhikr your objective. Time and time again I've told you, dhikr, don't make dhikr your objective. The objective of coming to the majlis is that we need to purify and clean our internal self. And you can't do this until and unless you don't follow Allah's method. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu taqullaha kunu ma'as sadiqeen. If we don't follow the method that the Quran has prescribed, we cannot complete the action. So now, it's not just one, it's for you to find that whatever person you are looking for, a wali Allah, a sheikh, and you like his company, and you can feel that your islah is taking place, then grab hold of his company. But if you step back and run away, then you will totally come into the trap of shaitan. And he will make you his permanent custom, he'll make you do the sins, but he won't take the defects out of you. And with the defects, he'll make you such a plant, like a tree. And the tree that's growing, and you have the rot, the wood rot, and you have the mango tree, and inside that tree there's the woodworm. The woodworm, it will increase, it'll increase, it'll increase, and it will eat away at the wood, and then when the wind will come, the storm will come, it will wipe away that tree. It will collapse, and it'll give you that fruit, that you'll look at that fruit, and you'll see that tree is the strong tree that has no woodworm, no rot inside. Same way, your amal, your deeds, you should become such a tree, but if you've got the woodworm, the rot within you, and with a gust of the wind, with the sins, you will fall down, you'll collapse. But close to Allah is what Allah wants. Allah says, purify yourself, clean yourself and come to me. Allah says, come to me with qalbin saleem, come to me with a pure, clean, sincere heart. Don't come to me with a dirty heart, Allah says. Allah says, dirty heart, salah, dirty heart, talawah, dirty heart, this. And Allah says, I don't need this. Go, first purify yourself in that way, the way that our Rabb has explained in the Quran, purify yourself properly. Allah hasn't said that do wrong. Allah orders wherever you feel the compatibility, this teacher is good, and he's improving you, kamil. There's not just one. Wherever your heart feels connection, compatibility, go there, take his company. When his tarbiyah with his advice, improve yourself, but without this, there's no other way. There's no other way. So I'm not giving you dawah here, that come to me. No, wherever your heart feels attached, then connect yourself to that teacher. Wherever you attain success, because Allah, when He gives you order of going to a wali Allah shaykh to attain reformation and purity, then Allah will have created mashayikh in the world, teachers, or has He not created teachers? Then what excuse will we give tomorrow for not having a teacher? If you feel like it, you've come, you arrived, you've attained bayah, you've sat, but I don't want to do tazkiyah, then what have you come here to do? Have you come to see me, and have I come to see you? Yes. What we do, we exchange photos with each other. Oh, we'll keep on looking at each other. You look at me and I look at you. You look at me and I look at you. No, this is not the case. Such a muhabbat and love with the teacher, with the shaykh, such a muhabbat that as soon as you see the appearance in the face of the teacher, you start to remove the sins. That's how much itiqad and belief you should have in your teacher. As a Mujaddad al-Afghani said, what a murid is he that he comes to me, my company, and within a second of my sobat, he sits with me 10 minutes, and after sitting with me, if he does not depart with walayat, then what sort of student is he? How can there be enjoyment in that student? And definitely in Naqshbandi silsila, the Naqshbandi order, I swear by Allah, in the first sitting, with the right niya and intention, if you learn the dhikr of Allah, I guarantee walayat and friendship with Allah to you. I guarantee, because it's coming from behind. It's impossible that you cannot be. So if I start praising and defining dhikr to you, it cannot be that when you go to the company of the teacher, you sit with the teacher in the first sitting of the teacher, and he makes your heart alive, and you accept it, and you accept his invitation to obey whatever he says, you accept, and he tells you to do itaat and physically implement the deen. You sit in his sohbat, in the first sohbat, if you don't leave as a wali, then you tell me. Then you tell me. Then complain. Not this, you come, you take bayah. No, tell me how to do this, I'll do this one day. Oh, it's too hard, I'll try. Oh, do dua for me. Oh, it's too difficult, I want to do it so much. These dramas, then you can read the events in the Quran about the previous nations, what happened to them. Directly you attach to shaitan, then carry on with shaitan. You're in the deception, carry on. But this is the case, when you've arrived, you've come. Then Surah Mumtahana, I always recite to you, Allah says, O Prophet of Allah, O my beloved, that when the believing women come to you, give them bayah, give them the pledge of allegiance, give them bayte rohani, spiritual bayah. Tazkiyah, this is the whole verse of the Quran. Take the promises from them. This is the connection between the teacher and the student. He requests the student at the time of bayah to accept some promises, but after promising, if you break the promises, are you murid? When you oppose the promises, are you a murid? Are you a right student? Those women folk and the men folk who took the company of the shaykh and they make the promise, just like the tariq of the Quran, Allah says in Surah Mumtana, that, O my Prophet, take promises from them. We will not do shirk, we will not steal, we will not do wrong. That when the shaykh take promises from the student, then after promising, you run away. When he says, yes, I accept, I'll do this, what a great reward. Allah says, O my Habib, then now, O my Prophet, raise your hands and do tawbah, istighfar for these believers, that Allah's Nabi is doing dua for the believers who did bayah. So the true student who does tawbah, who takes bayah at the hands of wali and starts a new lease of life, what's the reward? Allah gives the hukam to Rasulullah in Medina, O my Prophet, do dua for this student. Read the verse in the Quran, Surah Mumtahana, Subhanallah. Then Allah Ta'ala, what does he say? That this servant of mine has come to the shaykh, O my Habib, you've raised his hands. Inna Allah, I am Allah, I am the creator. I am Allah, who can stop me? Allah says, I'm ghafoor, go, I've forgiven all of his sins. So have you become a wali or not? Tell me. So the guarantee I give you, have you attained walayat or not? Tell me. Friendship wali, you've attained it. Whoever has come and made the true promise, said the true statement, accepted his sins, and they say, I will do exactly as Hazrat Sahib said, then have you not made a true promise? You've attained walayat then, isn't it? Friendship with Allah. Tell me. Allah says, Inna Allah, I'm Allah. Will I leave him empty handed? Go, all your sins are forgiven. Rahim, Allah says. Then the next attribute of Allah. Ghafoorun, Allah says, I'm not just Ghafoorun, I'm Rahim. And Allah says, congratulations to you, Ghafoorur Rahim. Who am I with? Rahim? Allah says, such a human being, I don't leave him empty handed. Go, then go and see my rahmah. I've made that person my wali, my friend. Subhanallah, but this is brothers, keeping the connection with the wali Allah, with the friend of Allah, the right real path. May Allah give us all the tawfiq. Ameen. So a few words I've discussed. Inshallah, if you don't understand, until the evening, we have a great team, great work of the deen they are doing, mashallah. Great work of the deen, Allah's given. They are unfortunate people. Those people who waste their time in joking, playing, oh, Satan, I've done zikr, waste their time. They are unfortunate people, are saying, the hereafter they'll wake up, who don't understand these words. So if they don't understand what is the deen, what is the luggage of the hereafter that we are losing, we think it's a joke, we think it's a play. Drama. Such a great team Allah has given that as soon as I finish speaking, in the whole world this will spread. It will go online, it will be published, mashallah, alhamdulillah. And time and time again you can hear it and listen to it and benefit from it. Why? Allah Ta'ala, how did He prepare this? I'm a very weak person, very difficult for me. But such a great resource Allah Ta'ala has given for the dunya, that every man, he can receive this message. But unfortunate, that person is unfortunate. Every era, generation, we have unfortunate people. So don't be like this. Don't be lazy. Don't be negligent. You'll regret tomorrow. Remember this. Every day in the same place, you'll have to come here. This is the place every day. Yes, here's, mashallah, the benefit. And here, the nasiha is given. This is the place. Yes, this is the place. So far, just you have to come from here to here. That's it. You understand what I'm saying? Very close. Just from here to here, you have to come. Just a small distance, a little distance you have to come to learn, to improve. So how are we living the life of deception drama if we don't come? So go and repeat and listen again to what I said. Inshallah, do amal on this. Whatever words I've shared with you, explain, that's how it should be, inshallah.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. As-salatu was-salamu ala sayyidina. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. اللهم ربنا اعطنا في الدنيا حسنه وفي الاخره حسنه اللهم اعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك ايمانا ونعما اللهم نسلك حسن الخاتمه اللهم نسلك صلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وعلى اله وصحبه اجمعين برحمتك يا ارحم الراحمين